is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It is 1896 in New York City, an exhibit called the Irish Palace, and a woman in her 80s, Kate Murphy, approaches the Irish Palace. There's a rope line around this vast floor decoration, 25 by 25 feet. And on that floor is painted the counties of Ireland, and each county has soil from that county that's been brought specially to New York for the Irish Palace. Kate Murphy must pay money to enter into this space to find her county, Fermanagh. This vivid scene is part of a storytelling of the Irish in New York. The book is Plentiful Country, The Great Potato Famine, and the Making of Irish New York. And I welcome Tyler Anbinder. He is the author and the compiler of this enormously helpful data to understand New York City here in the 21st century, to understand the stories of New York City the last 200 years from the Civil War onward. Professor, congratulations and a very good evening to you. It's a great pleasure to talk Irish, especially because it's so much around me, wherever I am. I'm in Connecticut now. Irish around me here, right across the border, Irish everywhere. But once upon a time, the Irish were relatively rare in New York City before the crisis, the tragedy. Who is Kate Murphy, and what does she do after she pays her few pennies to enter this enormous map of Ireland? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's great to be with you. Kate Murphy has lived in New York for decades. She's worked as a domestic servant. She's come from Ireland decades ago and, like most immigrants, is somewhat homesick and misses her homeland. And so in 1896, when there's this fundraising event held to in this effort to build a memorial to the Irish in America, and in particular to the Irish who came during the Great Famine 50 years earlier, they come up with this idea of building this giant map of Ireland and sending someone to Ireland to bring back soil from each of the 32 counties and place that soil within this large floor map that you've described, and then charge people admission to enter into the space, and so that they once again can stand on their native soil. And so Kate Murphy goes onto the map, walks to the middle, which is where Fermanagh is. And she is so moved by the thought of once again standing on the old sod that she gets down on her hands and knees and kisses the very ground she's standing on and kisses her native soil. And the people around watch this this poignant scene, and they can't help be struck by it. And there are tears in Kate's eyes. There are tears in the eyes of the people who are watching. And it shows how the Irish, even though they embraced America, they still felt this great sadness at times about what they had left behind.
Why do we have this book of the professors? Why does this exist, these detailed records of who they were, where they came from, where they were born, their parents, their wives, their children? Why do we have all of this? Because if you recall the Castle Garden records and the Ellis Island records from early in this period of time in the 19th century were lost to fire. We have them because of Emigrant Savings Bank. Professor, you and I have agreed that if you tried this in a novel, it wouldn't work. There's no verisimilitude to this, but Emigrant Savings Bank, why do we have these detailed records? Who's responsible?
Well, when the Emigrant Savings Bank started in 1850, it was started by Irish Americans, particularly for the famine Irish immigrants. And the goal, and in those days, there's no government-issued photo ID. And so when you go to the bank and ask for your money, the bank wants to make extra sure they're not giving your money to the wrong person. And because the famine Irish had so little, the Emigrant Savings Bank wanted to make extra sure that they weren't swindled by con men who might impersonate you and take your money. So the Emigrant Bank took down great detailed biographical information about each depositor. not just your name and your address and your occupation, but your mother's maiden name. They're the first financial institution we know of to use your mother's maiden name as a security device. They took down the names of all your children, your siblings, where all those people were living, the name of the ship you arrived on, even the date it arrived. And then when you came to get your money, they would say, so if you're really Michael Shea, tell me where your oldest sister is living. And if you got that right, they'd say, okay, well then tell us also what was the date you arrived in America and the name of the ship. And they would use those things as test questions. And so the bank kept those records. The bank was located first in Lower Manhattan and then at Fifth Avenue and 42nd Street by the end of the 19th century. And as the bank in the 1990s needed to clear out room to make room for new records, they decided rather than just throw out the old records, as most did, they recognized the historical significance of these. And so they took these old test books, as they were known, across the street to the New York Public Library. And there they quickly became the most used manuscript collection in the entire library because so many hundreds and thousands of Irish Americans who didn't really know much about their family's origins in the United States could find them in these records.
Yes, because there are 30 or 40 Michael Quinns at any one moment. You have an example in your book, an illustration, and a detail here is that it took account for when there was a deposit, when there was a withdrawal, when there was interest payment, because they had a rule that you had to keep a dollar in. Is that my memory? Is so oft times you had to leave a dollar in your account, but you've used those records to tell the story of their labor and how they saved. Were the Irish unusual savers, or was this the culture at the time to save a $5 a week or $60 a week?
It's kind of a little of both. I mean, there's definitely a culture of saving in this period, right? This is before there's any government social safety net. And so if you fell on hard times, you knew you had to depend on either family or friends or yourself. And so most people made it a point to save an emergency fund in the bank that they could use if they became unemployed, if someone in the family became sick, because again, there's no health insurance either in those days. And so for that reason, people saved in general. The Irish saved in particular and were especially enthusiastic savers because having been through the famine in Ireland where they ran out of money and literally could not feed themselves and their families, they were scarred psychologically by this experience. Can you imagine not having enough money to feed your children, watching your children starve in front of your eyes? And so the Irish, once they got to America, became very determined savers because they were absolutely determined not to ever let that happen to them again.
This book is a story of those lists of where they came from, who they are. The book is Plentiful Country, The Great Potato Famine and the Making of Irish New York. The author, Tyler Anbinder. We're going to Ireland. This is CBS IR in the World. I'm John Batchelor.